We are holding on Lamed Beis, the fifth line of wide lines. Still discussing the end of the discussion about standing up for Talmud Chacham, and that leads the Gemara into a related question. We're talking about standing up in front of a Talmud Chacham. Do you have to stand up in front of a Sefer Torah? Rabbi Chiyuki of Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Loza Amri, yes, Kavah Chaimah. Mifnei Lengel, Gemarach, you're standing up for the people who learn the Torah way. Mifnei Lekosh, and how much more so we should stand for Sefer Torah itself. Actually, it's not so simple, because there's a number of Rishonim point out to the Gemara in Makkos that says the other way around. The Gemara in Makkos says there that Rava, the context is over there, talking about that the Torah says that this sort of person is supposed to get 40 Malkos, Aboyim Yakenu, but the Drosha of the Drosha by Torah Shvateh is really only 39. So Rava, that's Malkos. When a person gets Malkos, I mean, the Torah says Aboyim Yakenu, and then the Drosha is that it's really only 39. So Rava says over there, how tipshit, how foolish are those people who stand up for a Sefer Torah, but not for a Talmud Chacham. Because you see from this, that the Talmud Chachamim, in effect, are overriding what the Torah says. The Torah says 40, and the Chachamim say 39. So from that, you would see that the honor of Talmud Chacham... The point is, from that discussion in Makkos, it sounds like that you have to stand up for a Sefer Torah not only you have to stand up for a Sefer Torah, but even how much more so for a Talmud Chacham? You were saying the other way around. For a Talmud Chacham, how much more so for a Sefer Torah? So which one is greater?
No, that's the point.
There's a couple of different beforeshim that explain different.
Because if it was not here, according to this, for a Talmud Chacham, maybe not for a Sefer
Torah. Well, So one answer is actually, after all, where do we know the whole concept of standing up for a Sefer Torah is, we're saying over here, we're deriving it from the fact that the Torah says, Nei Sefer Chacham, you're supposed to stand up for a Talmud Chacham. Once it's a given that you stand up for a Sefer Torah, how foolish it is, Rava says, to not be standing up for the Talmud Chacham, which is where you're learning it from in the first place.
And I agree, but we were all standing behind Sinai. We were not sitting.
So, but I mean, that, first of all, that was the luchos were being given over there. You could argue, you stand up for the luchos, not necessarily for a Sefer Torah.
There was no chest.
What?
There was no chest.
Yeah.
Are you remembering?
Yeah, practically speaking, it's true. There were no chairs. But besides that also, anyway, it's true that there was no Sefer Torah there either. Okay. Yeah. So, Mark tells Rabbi Loib, come on. Rabbi Loi and Rabbi Yaakov Azavdi Havu Yassi. One time, Rabbi Loi and Rabbi Yaakov Azavdi were sitting. Cholof ba'alzer Rabbi Shimon ba'aba. Rabbi Shimon ba'aba passed by. Kamu mekameh, and they stood up for him. Amalahu, he says to them, is that really right? Chodah, number one, da'atun hakimi, you two are actual Talmud Chachamim, va'ano chover. I'm not such a real Talmud Chacham. A chover is basically somebody who's careful in the dinim of Tumah v'Tahara and Trumas and Maisus and whatever, but he's not a full-fledged Rav. So number one, you shouldn't be standing up for me for that reason. But wait, and well, number two, klum Torah medicine. And they're like, yeah. Is it right Torah that you represent the Torah should be standing in the presence of those who look at it? Meaning, Rashi says when they were sitting over there, they were stam shmuzing. They themselves were discussing a dvar halacha. They themselves were discussing matters of Torah. So he's arguing how you talk to them in the middle of you learning Torah, you should be standing up for me.
That's a different thing.
And the Gemara says, which means actually he holds like Rabbi Lazar. A Talmud Chacham is not supposed to stand up for his Rebbe when he's occupied with Torah. However, the Gemara says on that, Abaya denigrated or cursed that ruling. Like he didn't hold by it, in other words. Yes, you may be in the middle of your learning. You still should be standing up for Talmud Chacham. Actually, before Rishonim discussed the question, does it mean that is Gemara concluding then that even in the middle of your learning, you have to stand up for any Talmud Chacham or only for your Rebbe? Maybe there's a difference in that regard. No, because he's calling them himself a chover relative to them, but he was a Talmud Chacham, so they stood up for him. They were bigger Talmud Chacham, plus they were Oisik and Dvar Halacha. So yes, according to what Rabbi Lazar is saying, they shouldn't have had to. But according to what Abaya is saying, it is right that they did. There is. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Shimon ben Abba. I mean, when Rabbi Shimon ben Abba says, "I talk and you're standing up for me when you're Oisik and Dvar Halacha."
It was a chover.
No, right. If you're not supposed to stand up in front of a rabbi, how much more so in front of a chaver? Yeah. Yeah. When that's the thing. When we say layat ala abaya, doesn't mean that abaya disagreed with across the board, like whether it's your rebbe or whether it's any talmid chacham, you shouldn't. Or did he only disagree with it maybe as far as if it's not a talmid chacham but a rebbe is different, or the other way around? Maybe he was only saying that a rebbe is different and he's supposed to stand up for him regardless. But it's a regular talmid chacham, a regular run-of-the-mill talmid chacham, maybe you can rely on Rav Elazar's thing. One of the Rishonim, Rabbi Yohanan, also adds a detail. He says it's different whether you're learning Baal Peh or whether you're learning from a sefer. He says that if you're learning from a sefer, then tactically you don't have to stand up because then you have an actual sefer there. It's not just you're talking verbally.
When he says he means
he's occupied
with umanus b'Torah.
No. It just means that right now he's doing it. Since we're talking about standing up for a talmid chacham, the Gemara finishes off with the Gemara continues with a pasuk about with Moshe Rabbeinu. The pasuk says, "V'bitu achrei Moshe adboya oyla." That when Moshe, this is after the Chet Ha'Egel, says that Moshe pitched his tent outside the machne, and whenever anybody needed to ask him anything, they would have to go out there. And every time he went out there, this pasuk says, "V'kom kolam," all the people would stand up. They all stand up and bow for the shkina that's appearing by his tent, the bitter after Moshe, and they would gaze after Moshe ad boyer oyla until he got into his tent. So Rav Ami Rav Yitzchak Napcha, chad amal ignayv, chad amal ashmach. One says that the pasuk is telling us that they were looking at him in a derogatory way, and the other is that they were doing it in a praiseworthy way. Wait, no, not bowing to the shkina. That was no question. But this is that it says that the nitzvu, that they would stand by the door of their tent, that each person would stand by the door of his tent and watch Moshe as he walks over to his tent and goes in. Is that l'gnai or l'shvach? Manda amal l'gnai. The one who says that they were doing it in a derogatory way, k'disa. As it is said, the Gemara doesn't want to actually spell out what it is. Rashi quotes from Medrash Tanchuma that they'd say, you know, look how fat his legs are, look how fat his neck is. He must be eating well out of all of the money that he gets, everything that he gets from us. So that's the Gnai. The Gemara didn't even want to spell that out, so therefore, yeah. Mandar Mulashlach, according to the opinion that it was in a praiseworthy way. So what are they watching from such a distance? Where's the covet in that? Amar Chizkia, Amar Liv Chanina Bered Rabbo, Amar Rabbo, Amar Rabbo Vibidi Min Chayfa. Now, yes, it works like this. Chacham over, when a Chacham, a regular Talmud Chacham, is passing by, Oven Milafon of Dalet Amos, you stand when he reaches within 4 Amos of you, Vakim and Shav and Dalet Amos Yoshev, and as soon as he passes out of your 4 Amos, you can sit. Yeah, then you can sit down. Then you can sit down. Av based in over, when an Av based in, which is a step up, passes by, Omen Melafon of Meloyeno, you stand up when you see him as far as you can see, or the distance that we talked about yesterday, maybe a wrist, 400 feet or so, but Kim and Shavu Dalet Amos Yoshev, and as soon as he passes out of your 4 Amos, you can sit back down. Nasi over, when a Nasi, who is the top of the heap over there, the top of the chain, when he walks by, Omen Milafon of Meloyeno, you stand up when you see him as far as you can see him, Ve'ena Yoshev, Ad Yoshev Mekoyim, and you don't sit down until he sits in his place. Shenema, as we get from this pasuk, we Peter Acharim Moshe Ad Boya Oyla, they're standing over there and watching until Moshe comes to the tent, and when he went in, then they would all sit down.
They used to watch the Rebbe come in and used to sit up as soon as the Rebbe
when he sat down in his place.
When he sits down, they can sit.
When he sits down in his place, actually, Yeshua can claim it. Yeah, when he sits down in his place, then they can sit. Now we're going to start a whole new topic. We learned in the Mishnah, so though the first part of the Mishnah I talked about mitzvahs ha'av ala ben, mitzvahs ha'ben ala av, that got us into the whole discussion of the mitzvahs that a father has to do for their son, including Talmud Torah, and then the mitzvahs that a child has to do for their father, kibud av v'eim, which led us into kavod Talmud Chacham. Now on to the next thing in the Mishnah. Mishnah said, "Kol mitzvah esse shazman grama cholo," that any mitzvah esse that is time bound. Men are chayav, women are potter, and any mitzvah esse that is not time bound, everybody is chayav in. Tana Rabbanan, Ezri mitzvah esse shazman grama. What are some examples of a mitzvah esse shazman grama? Sukkah, velulav, shofar, betzitzis, or tefillin. So sukkah and lulav and shofar are very obvious. Tzitzis, actually, Tosfos says it's maybe not so simple because there's a machlokas in a couple of places in Shas whether there's a chiyuv of tzitzis at night. If there's no chiyuv of it at night, then yes, the mitzvah is a shazman grama. If you say you chayiv and tzitzis at night, then it's not. Then it's a constant mitzvah. It's a machlokas. The halacha is like the opinion that it's only obligatory by day and therefore by night, and by night you're not, and therefore it's a mitzvah that women are potter from. After Kabbalah, the Arizal said that you should wear tzitzis at night as well, which is where we have the minhag of chassidim that you wear tzitzis at night as well.
After Kabbalah, right.
So that's as far as tzitzis. As far as tefillin, Rashi says there's two possibilities that could make it a mitzvah sefer shazman grama. Number one is, there's a machloekus again in a few places in Shas, whether nighttime is a time when you're supposed to wear tefillin. When we had in the last parak of Erevin, we had a whole discussion about the amount of tefillin, because in connection with the mission over there, they talk about a case where you find tefillin abandoned outside the city or something, and you need to bring them to a safe place on Shabbos. What do you do? First of all, maybe nighttime is not a time when you're supposed to wear tefillin, which technically is the halacha. That's why even if you're wearing tefillin close to shkia, you're supposed to take them off. And number two, even if you say that they're supposed to be worn by night, you don't wear them Shabbos and Yom Tov. So one way or the other, it is mitzvah sefer shazman grama. The ezer mitzvah sefer shaloy hazman grama. What are some examples of a mitzvah sefer that is not time bound? Mezuzah. Micah, making a fence around your roof, Aveda, a Shabbos Aveda, the Shiloh Khan, and sending away the mother bird from a nest.
Always present.
All of those mitzvahs are something that are applicable all the time. Tosafot asks the question that all of those mitzvahs actually have a loisah connected with them also. For example, well, not Meluda actually, but Micah, the Pasuk says you have to put a fence around your roof, and the Pasuk continues, V'loy sofim domim v'esecha. You're not allowed to allow a dangerous situation to remain in your house. In this case, for example, we learn from that also, for example, you can't have a rickety ladder around the house or various other things like that.
So
if you're not putting up a Micah, you're not, and we know from the Mishnah that all loisa says women are chayavin, with the exception of three that I mentioned over there. So on that ground alone, women ought to be higher than Micah. Similarly with Shabbos Aveda, where there's a mitzvah not to overlook it, loisa chalei salam, you're not allowed to pretend you didn't see it. And with Shiloh HaKam, there's a loisika chayim alabonim, you're not allowed to take the mother with the baby chicks or the eggs. So what's the chiddush that women have to keep all of them? So Tosfos has a bit of an aruchos about it. Shiloh HaKam is two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah eseh that you have. There's a mitzvah lois eseh. You're not allowed to take the mother bird with the eggs or the chicks.
Right.
And number two, shalach haseim. You have to send away the mother. And this is an example. That kind of thing is an example for the lav on mitzvah eseh. Usually, the rule with those kinds of things is if you were over on lav, then you make up for it by doing the essay. If you went and took the mother bird, if you went and took the whole nest, mother bird and all, you can take care of it. You can undo that by sending away the mother bird now. Only if, and I'm not right, not all Rishonim agree with this, but I'm not right, that if for example, you were to, if for example, the mother bird died at that point, or you shefted it, or you clipped its wings or whatever, so it couldn't be sent away, then you would get malchus for being over on the line. Anyway, the point is, three out of these four mitzvahs that we're saying, all of them except for mezuzah, have a loisa say involved also. Why don't we just say on that ground alone, women are higher than them? So Tosfos gets into some discussion about it, that first of all, in each of these cases, you could find a way where the essay applies and the loisa say doesn't. For example, with a mica, Tosfos gives the example. If you build a house not intending to put a mica up, then you've been over on the loisah, and therefore you have to undo it with the associated esser of putting up a mica. Let's say, for example, you built the house to begin with intending you're going to put up a mica. Then, for example, you changed your mind, or you had built a mica and it fell down. You're not over on the loisah at that point because the passive thing, but there's still the esser to be fulfilled. So you could have argued then that women should be potter, but no, it's a mitzvah sefer shein hazman grama, so therefore they are. Therefore they're chayiv in it. Because it's not time bound. And the lav is not relevant over here, because the lav is not taking effect over here.
That applies to all the mitzvahs who are...
That's all the ones that we're talking in this category. Okay, then actually that Tosfos, by the way, goes further with a thing about it that let's say, for example, you could argue that maybe you could argue maybe let's say if a yes maybe you would argue if a woman is potter from a certain asset, maybe she should be potter from the associated lois asset also. Yeah. Anyway, but that's the Gemara is saying that not. The Gemara is telling us that not, that you are high in them. Other Rishonim give other answers.
Well, they should be connected, but yeah. Really they're not.
Yeah. There are other Rishonim who give other answers to this question, one of them being that when we say that an Esser and a Lois Esser are connected in the sense that if the woman is higher than the Lois Esser, she's also higher than the Esser, for example, Shabbos, even though Shabbos is obviously Mitzvah Esser, Shabbos, and Rama, but women are obligated not to do Malacha on Shabbos, and they're also obligated in the Mitzvah Esser, Shabbos, to rest on Shabbos, but those happen at the same time. The moment Shabbos begins, both of those are in effect, whereas these over here, sort of like what Tosfos is saying, they can come at different times. You can have the Esser without the Lav, and they don't necessarily have to come both at the same time. Anyway, the Gemara says, Chlolahu, is this a general rule that you're telling me that women are always potter from that women are always potter from Mitzvah Esser Shadman Groma? Hare Matzah, you have the example of eating matzah on Pesach, Simcha, the mitzvah of the Samachta B'chagecha, Hakel, and Hakel, where the Pasuk explicitly says, Noshim Noshim Vataf, the mitzvah says, Shazman Grom of Noshim Chayavas. Those are all time bound mitzvahs, women are chayavim. Shofar, we said they're potter. They are potter. Whether women who are potter from a mitzvah can do it anyway and say the bracha, that is a big machlokes rishonim, and that it comes down in halacha as the mechaber versus the ramah. It comes down among the posting in Shulchan Aruch between the mechaber and the ramah. The mechaber holds they cannot, the ramah holds they can. That's why when you go on Mitzayim on Rosh Hashanah, for example, when you go on Mitzvah Shofar, if you're blowing, if you've already been Yotzi yourself and you're blowing for women, according to the if it's Ashkenazish women who hold like the Ramah, you're allowed to make a bracha for them, and if it's Sardish women who hold like the Mechaber, you're not. Anyway.
It was mentioned in the
No, in the Braita, we said Sukkah Shofar, Sukkah Balul of Shofar, etc. Yeah. Anyway. And the two, and further, let's consider about a Talmud Torah, period, Rivia, Pidyon Aben. Let's consider you have learning Torah, the mitzvah Kruhu, and Pidyon Aben, the law of mitzvah Seseh Shazman Groma, who none of those are mitzvah Seseh Shazman Groma. Pidyon Aben is not considered Shazman Groma because there's no fixed date for it. You'd have to do it beginning the 30th day, but there's no calendar, there's no particular calendar date when that happens.
Bris also 11.
Bris, we had a limud the other day that said that not. The lab mitzvah says that man grow moving ashram tourists, women are potter from all of them. Amar Rav Yechanan, aim made them in a clawless tafilu b'makam shenema b'chutz. You have to know, you can't learn from a generality that it says in the Mishnah, even if there's an exception stated. Ditznan, well, here's an example of that. We learn in a Mishnah in Eruvin, b'kol ma'arvin ha'mishtafin, you can use any kind of food for an Eruv. Rashi says Eruv chaseiros, and also there seems to be missing in Rashi Eruv tchumen. Tosfos argues on that and says Eruv Chaseiros. You have to use bread. It's talking about Eruv Tchumen only. Anyway, you can use any kind of food. Umeshtafkin, you can use for a shittuf mavoyas, to be able to carry in the mavoy. You can use any food. Chutz min amayim melach, except for water and salt, because those aren't really foods in and of themselves. But in Eruvin it says over there, Tuleka, is that all? Those are the only exceptions, right? For Kmein or Pitrius. We know you also can't use mushrooms. Because they don't grow from the ground, but because they don't have nutritional value. Basically, they're not mothering. They're not food that nourishes you. And Shulchan Aruch actually mentions a couple of other things that are not really considered food, and you can't use whatever. Anyway, Ella. So
meat is considered
meat. Is, yeah, definitely. Yeah, so you get protein from it. Sure. Ella, so you must say, you can't learn from a klal that it's exhaustive, even when it says chutz, like in that Mishnah over there. So therefore, yes, our Braith over here is mentioning a few examples. Our Mishnah, rather, had said, kol mitzvah seseh shazman groma, women are potter, and all mitzvah seseh shein hazman groma, women are chayev. But we see there's exceptions in both directions. Then we said, okay, so mitzvah seseh shazman groma, nashim turis minolam. Okay, where do we know that women are potter from mitzvah seseh shazman groma? That the Mishnah is telling us, where do we know it from? By the way, as far as the deeper reasons behind it, there's a lot of discussion. The Avudraham mentions that the reason is because women are busy with around the household. They're under the rishus of their husbands, and they may not be able to at any time be able to do a yeah. That, so that there's that. They talk about the various rishonim and achronim.
Don't have children.
Okay, but the Torah would write that. But the Torah is talking about the majority case. There's an explanation also that a woman is yotze these mitzvahs through the fact that her husband does them. And after Kabbalah, there's a thing from the Arizal that since a husband and wife are basically two halves of one neshama, then yes, his mitzvahs go to her credit as well. There's other ideas as well. There's a common idea you can find floating around that women are on a higher level and therefore they don't need these mitzvahs as much. Usually, you know, it sounds like some modern type thing that somebody cooked up in order to make the feminists feel better, but actually you can find them out. Al says something similar. Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch says something similar.
Why are some women on a higher level than men?
Why? Because the Eibishter is Kol Yochel. That's what he decided, but whatever. Anyway. So, but where's the actual limud for it? The answer is Gomer Mitfilin. We learn it by Mamatzinu, by Binyan Av from Tfilin. Ma Tfilin Noshim Pturis, just like women are potter from Tfilin, as we will explain soon how we know that. Av Komets with Tessa Shazman Groma, Noshim Pturis, the same thing applies to any other Mitzvah Tessa Shazman Groma. To An or Tfilin, in turn, Gomer Lomitama Turda. We learn that they're potter from Tfilin by Mamatzinu, or by Hekesh rather, from Talmud Turda, from learning Turda. Ma Tama Torah and Rosh HaPaturah, it's just like women are potter from learning Torah, which we learned the other day, because we said, the Vishinantam L'Vonecha, not L'Vinei Secha. Ach Tfilin Rosh HaPaturah, it's the same thing, women are potter from Tfilin. Okay, and we're asking, Akish Tfilin L'Mezuzah. Why are we making a hekesh between Tfilin and Torah, because they're mentioned one after the other in Krishma, Vishinantam L'Vonecha, V'Dibar Tabam, etc., and the next pasuk is Kshartam L'Yitayadecha. Make a hekesh between Tfilin and Mezuzah, because right after Shartam Lo Yisayadecha is Chsabtam Al Mezuzah Tisecha Ovisharecha, and say then that just like women are chayiv in Mezuzah, because there's no reason they shouldn't, because it's not Mezuzah Tisecha Grama, so they should be chayiv in Tfilin. The answer is Tfilin, Talmud Torah, Itkish Ben Parashat Rishonim and Parashat Shniyah, because you have the hekesh between Tfilin and learning Torah in both Parashiyas of Shema. In the first parasha, you have a Shinantam Alonecha V'Divartabam, and right after that, a Pshartam Lo'Yisayadecha. In the second parasha, you have Pshartam Lo'Yisam Lo'Yisayadecha V'Yilashashav Ezbenenechem, V'Limantam Oysam Ezbenenechem L'Jabibam. So you have that hekesh, the order is different. You have first learning Torah, and then Tfilin in the first parasha, first Tfilin, then Limud Torah in the second, but you have that hekesh. Tfilin, the mezuzah, the parasha shniyah, the hekesh. There's no hekesh between tfilin and mezuzah in the second parasha because you have that pasuk with the matzah mezuzah esbenechem in between them, and only then do you have ochsavtam mezuzah tisecha. Fine. Then the question is, a nakesh mezuzah with talmud torah. Fine. By that logic, why don't we make a hekesh between talmud torah and mezuzah and say just like women are potter from talmud torah for the reason that we established, so they should also be potter from mezuzah, and then we would say they're potter even from mitzvah etzah she'ein hazman grama. That's what most hypothesis. You can't think that would be correct. Just give, because what does the pasuk say about mezuzah? Laman yugu yumechem, that you should keep the mitzvah of mezuzah in order that your days should be long. Gabri boichai, noshi the boichai. Do only men need a long life? Women don't. Everybody needs a long life. So therefore, it's logical that the Torah wants to say that women are chayiv in mezuzah as well. Okay, Tosfos asks the pasuk that mentions about Torah is also kihu chayecha. So Tosfos' answer is that Tosfos gives a couple of answers. One of them is that the words kihu chayecha aren't talking about learning Torah per se, but about doing mitzvahs. Again, doing mitzvahs is kihu chayecha. But other Rishonim give other answers. One of them being that the Torah kihu chayecha is not a reason to learn Torah. You should learn Torah and you should know kihu do mitzvahs is the case maybe, and you should know kihu chayecha. As opposed to mezuzah, the Torah is telling us l'man. It's giving a reason. You should keep the mitzvah of mezuzah in order that your days should be long. So there's a direct cause and effect thing. In other words, so therefore it's logical that the Torah is not going to give such a mitzvah only to men when women need it as well.
You should put the mezuzah for the effect of it, basically.
No, I mean you keep the mezuzah because you keep the mitzvah mezuzah because the Eibishter said so. But the Torah is telling you that the Eibishter wants you to do it, so that he presents you with arichas yom, so that women should be chayiv in it as well. It is, by the way, there are poskim who say that actually even though women are chayiv in mezuzah, maybe they shouldn't put it up themselves, because since women can't write a mezuzah, the sefer Torah tefillin mezuzah is going to be written by men, then maybe they can't fulfill the mitzvah of putting it up either. So
not allowed to write mezuzahs?
Yeah, because of the hekdesh between chsavtam, between writing tefillin mezuzahs and learning Torah, therefore women are excluded. But a bit of discussion among poskim. I don't remember what the final halacha is about women actually putting up mezuzahs. Next, the Gemara asks, "V'harei sukkah the mitzvah says shad man grama." What about consider the case of sukkah, sitting in the sukkah and eating in the sukkah? The mitzvah says shad man grama. That is definitely a mitzvah says shad man grama. Shibas sukkah teish v'shibas yomim, because it says you have to sit in sukkahs for 7 days. Now, and time of the kosher, and it's true that women are potter, but only because of a special limud. Time of the kosher, rahmana ha'ezrach lahoitiyat hanashim. Only because, as the Gemara tells us in the Sefer Sukkah, because the pasuk says that kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael, and the hay is a mute, lahoitiyat hanashim, come to exclude women, only the ezrach, meaning a certain type of ezrach. Ha'ezrach basically means like we learned the other day that a hay sometimes like hamartzea means the biggest kind of martzea, for example. Therefore, ha'ezrach means like the more prominent among the ezrach, which is the men. Ha'lav ha'chi noshim chayavet, meaning that if not for that, women should be chayav. Shouldn't we be learning from that then that women are chayav in mitzvah tetzah shad man grama unless there's an explicit exemption in the pasuk? Amar Abaye Itzrich. No, the reason why we need a limud over there, specifically by sukkah, is for a different reason. Because you would think to say, the pasuk that says you're supposed to dwell in sukkah, and we learn that it means teshu came to duri, you're supposed to dwell in the sukkah during the week of sukkah, just like you live in your house the rest of the year. Therefore, matdira ish the ishtay
asukkah.
Well, we do today. I mean, every time we want to eat, for example, we eat in the sukkah. Teshuvah Kenja Duru also includes the idea, for example, that rain is technically a potter from the sukkah. Teshuvah Kenja Duru. It means there's a number of things we learn about it in connection with the din of sukkah. It means, for example, that you're supposed to have your nice dishes in the sukkah. It means that you don't bring in pots and pans there like you wouldn't to your dining room table. There's a lot of dinim that come up from that. Yeah. Anyway. So just like your dira, your year-round dwelling, man and wife live together, so the sukkah also, you would think, man and wife have to live together there. And the fact that, therefore you would think women are chayev in it. Therefore you need the hay of Ezra to tell you that not. You can't say, though, that in general women should be chayev in mitzvah as a shadman rama. But Rava says I have a different reason to say that.
In London, women
take wellness. Okay, I mean, we're not saying that women cannot, just that they're not required to. You know, take, for example, I mean, okay, when it rains, technically,
no Sardim.
Even according to Sardim, they can sit there. There's no problem in sitting there. It's just a problem in making a bracha. But again, for example, I mean, when it rains during sukkah, you know, I mean, we men follow the Chabadska minhag that we eat out in the sukkah regardless. You know, we ignore the rain. The women are perfectly entitled to go inside. You know, because they're not really chayav in the first place. Anyway, the Rava gives a different answer why we needed a specific limud by sukkah to say that women are potter if it's a mitzvah sasa shatman groma and they ought to be potter after. He says, "Itzrich, you need another reason for a miut. Because otherwise, you would think to make a gzeir shava by the word chamisha oser from Pesach. Ma lahalam noshim chayavis. Now, just like when it comes to Pesach, women are chayav to eat masa the first night of Pesach. And Rashi explains in Amud Aleph the reason for it is because there is an example where an efe and a loisis they go together. There's a hekish. The Torah makes a hekish between not eating chametz and eating matzah. So anybody who is not allowed to eat chametz is also obligated to eat matzah the first night. Women are chayiv not to eat chametz, or not allowed to eat chametz, because it's a mitzvah loisis there, and all loisis says they're chayiv in just as much as men. Therefore, they're also chayiv in matzah. Once we do that, though, then we would think to make a gzeir shava from that sukkah. To sukkah and say malahalam noshim chayavas hakan noshim chayavas. So you would say, you would argue that just as when it comes to Pesach, women are chayav to eat matzah, so when it comes to sukkah, they should be chayav to eat in the sukkah, at least the first night. Sikha, so therefore we needed a specific limud that night. But not to say, again, not to say that you could derive from that anything to other mitzvahs that the Shazman Grama.
If this special pasuk was...
If we didn't have the word ha'ezrach, then we would think they are, because we would think to use the Gzeder Shavah. Yeah. The Shita Lo Noda Lami asks an interesting question. He says, why don't we say anyway that women are chayiv? What do we need all that? Shouldn't we say women are chayiv to eat matzah on Pesach, because and they should be chayiv to sit in the sukkah on sukkahs, because of the famous reason, apein hoyu ba'ufaneh. Same principle as we say why women are chayiv to hear the Megillah, even though it's a mitzvah sefer shazman grama, but they're chayiv to hear it because they were also, the whole thing applied to them. The whole,
they were present also for sukkahs.
That's the point. That's the Shita Lo Noda Lami's question. We also find that by Hanukkah as well. We find that. We find it by Megillah, and we find it by Dalet Kodesh. So his answer is that kind of idea, Achin Hoya Osvosanes, actually only applies to Mitzvah Derabbanan. We don't find it applying to Mitzvah Deraita. Dalet Kodesh are Derabbanan. And yes, we say women are chayiv in them because Achin Hoya Osvosanes. Megillah is a Mitzvah Derabbanan, and they're chayiv in it because Achin Hoya Osvosanes. We never find that applying in Mitzvah Deraita. Therefore, therefore, when it comes to Pesach, we need the Hekish of Chometz and Matzah to tell us that they're Chayiv. And when it comes to Sukkot, because we have the Limud HaEzrach, then we say that they're not Chayiv. Okay. Next, the Gemara says, V'harei Re'iyah. Okay, let's consider the mitzvah of Re'iyah, that everybody has to appear in the Bais HaMikdash and bring a korban on each of the Sholosh Regalim. The mitzvah set the Shazman Grama. That is obviously Mitzvah Seter Shazman Grama. This time of the custom, again, we have a specific miut that women... But again, not because the Mitzvah Seter Shazman Grama, but because you have a specific limud to that effect.
Otherwise they would.
That's what we're going to ask. The Mitzvah Seter Shazman Grama, the time of the custom Rahman of the Chur Cholahoti Anashim, now only because the Torah gives a specific miut that it says that all your males are required to appear, that meaning as opposed to the women. By the way, Rashi and Tosfos discuss in Chagiga, does this mean that they're potter from appearing altogether, or does it mean they're required to appear in the Bais HaMikdash, they're just potter from bringing the korban? Anyway, so holav halchi nashim chayavos. So if not for that, women would be chayav. So again, you could argue that generally they're chayav in mitzvah seter shazman grama unless there's a miut. The answer is Gipsrich. Again, we say that we need the word Zechurcha because Hakadai Zechamin and Nelech Re'ir Re'ir Mehakel. Because otherwise you would think to make Zer Shavim Hakel. Hakel women are Chayavin. The Torah says so, black and white. Anoshim, Noshim, Vatav. Hakel is Oma, Noshim, Anoshim, Vatav. And the Pasuk says over there that Hakel takes place in Voichol Yisrael Le'roi, when all the Jewish people come to be seen in the Bais HaMikdash. So you would think to make Zer Shavim from that, like Yeroi, that also everybody has to appear in the Bais HaMikdash. Therefore, the Torah has to tell us the Chorcha to tell us that not. Hakel, they're Chayavin, Re'iyah, they're not.
They offer Korbanos on Hakel?
No, but that's not the point. The point is, Okay, so now the Gemara asks, so what did we say before? We said on Amar Aleph that where do we learn the whole concept that women are potter from Mitzvah Seter Shazman Grama? We're saying we do it by Mama Tzinu from Tfilin. Just like they're potter from Tfilin, so everything else. Instead of learning from tefillin to say that they're potter, nelef misimcha lechiyuv. Let's use simcha as the source for the mamasinu and say just like they're chayiv in that, which is obviously mitzvah seter shazman grama, so they should be chayiv in all the other ones as well. So it's Omer Abaye, Isha Baila Masamcha. Abaye says it's not actually the chiyuv of simcha is not really on her. It's on her husband. Her husband is responsible for, in the time of the Bais HaMikdash, giving her meat from the korbanos. Nowadays, the nice dresses and whatever.
He's not taking the pshat. Yeah.
Ain't simcha el b'baser. The main, when the Torah says samachta b'chagecha, the real mitzvah is primarily that you're supposed to be eating the meat of the korban shlomim that's brought l'kavod yomtiv. Or nowadays, we don't have that, then we're not really used to that, so we do instead, for men, there's boss of a yayin, for women, there's big bits of oinim, etc. So the chiyuv is not essentially on her. Her husband is responsible to make sure that she has the simcha.
Because of that?
Yeah. Yeah. Rashi says in chayvah simcha tluya ba, the chayvah of simcha is not really dependent on her. Elal bailah she is hamchena. This simachta, really we don't need it as if it was the simachta that you should be happy, but rather the simachta that you should make her happy. So Tosfos says somewhat differently that Rashi seems to be learning. Tosfos explains at some length over here that Rashi seems to be saying that, for example, the husband is responsible for buying his wife the nice clothing for Yom Tov or whatever. Tosfos says somewhat differently that he's responsible to bring the Shalmei Simcha. She doesn't actually have to bring the shlomim. He is responsible to, because he has the mitzvah of Re'iyah, which includes bringing karbanos, and therefore, once he has the shlomim, then she partakes of it as well. Okay, she's not obligated to bring it in the first place.
Do we say here that the samachta means the shlomim simcha?
That's essentially what it means, yeah.
It doesn't mean anything else?
Well, that's the thing. The Tosfos quotes from a Gemara in Pesachim that says, that when the Beis Hamikdash is standing, ein simcha el b'baser, then you have to eat the meat of a korban shlomim to be yod to the mitzvah of simcha. Nowadays, for the lack of that, when we have instead the boss of the yayin and bigdut tivonin and whatever. Yeah. And that, well, boss of the yayin for men and bigdut tivonin for women. But either way, it's a chiyuv on the men to get it taken care of. Yeah. Yeah, the question is, Amlona ma'ikol neimer. Fine, what are you going to say by an Amlona? We know she has to have simcha yom tov as well, and she doesn't have a husband. And so it's b'shruya, it's like, yes, Tosfos is not saying that the Amona herself has to have simcha for Yom Tov. You are responsible. Samach v'chavecha, ator, mincha, v'te, etc. V'ayotem, v'amona, v'ager, v'ayotem, v'amona, v'alev, v'ager, v'ayotem, v'amona, v'ashev, v'sherecha, you, the balabas, a man, are responsible to make sure that the Amona is going to have a place at your table and she's going to have the nice Yom Tov clothes and the meat and the meat from the shlomim and so forth. That's right, by a balabas, by whichever one, whichever one. Yeah, Minitzavan Mishi Hishri Etzai, whoever she's staying by. But for Yom Tov, you're expected to invite her, yeah. What are you talking about? It's not Minitz Chabad here. I know plenty of families, Chas V'Shalom to say such a thing, I know plenty of families here who invite, yeah. How many Amonis do you know, first of all? But yes, I know families that do that. The Yad Rechava too. The Rambam puts it very strongly. The Rambam puts it that if a person eats and drinks on Yom, makes a whole Yom Tov Sudah, and then locks his doors and doesn't want the Aniyim and the Amonis and whatever to come in and eat, then he's not having Simchas Tumtiv, he's having Simchas Kreisa, he's having the joy of his stomach, and then the Eivishter disapproves of that very, very in very harsh terms. Chas V'Shalom to say about a community of Jews that they don't have this. Okay. Next, think about that. V'neilach mehakel. Fine. By the same logic, continuing, why don't we say that we learn that women are chayv in mitzvah tesa shat man grama by a mamatzina from hakel? They're chayv in hakel. They should be chayv in all the other ones as well. The answer is mishum to have a matzah b'hakel shnei from a boim kechad because. We said before that women are chayiv and matzah. We said they're also chayiv and hakel. We have two psukim that are teaching us the same din. When you have two psukim that teach us the same din, you cannot use those for a mamatzinu. As long as, I mean, the Gemara is going to say soon, if you needed both of them, if you couldn't have derived one from the other, then you can. But if you could have derived one from the other, logically, and the Gemara will talk about soon how we could have, then we say if the Torah says something in one place, we discussed this the other day. If the Torah says something in one place, it's meant so that we're supposed to use it for a binyanah, for a mamatzinu. If it says it in two places, and in this case it says by matzah that women are chayiv, by the hekesh from chomet, and it says by hakel exclusively, noshim atav, then there you go. It means only those two, nothing else. So you could argue by the same logic that the mitzvah of Ru'iyah, of appearing in the Beis Mikdash on the Sholosh Regalim, and the mitzvah of Tefillin are also Shnei Suvam Boim Kachad. There you have two psukim that teach us that women are potter from mitzvah Tesesh Azman Rama, Tefillin by the Hekesh from Limin HaTorah, Ru'iyah because it says the Churcha, argue the same thing, or that only those two are they potter from, but all the other mitzvah Tesesh Azman Rama, they're Chayiv. The answer is strictly no, because the difference is tefillin and re'iyah, we
so
couldn't have...
Do you need both?
The question is, you're telling me that the Torah tells us about two mitzvahs, that women are two mitzvahs of a certain category, that women are potter from them, or women are chayiv in them, as the case may be, then you can learn from all, or you can't learn from anywhere else. Well then, you have two psukim that say, two psukim of mitzvahs like the Shazman Groma that we say women are chayiv in, Masa and Hatzel. Two that saying that they're potter from, Tefillin and Riyah. By that logic,
we should
say that you can't learn from that either. You can't use tefillin to derive from it all the other mitzvahs of the Shadman Grama, because you also have Re'iyah. If the turtle wanted to tell you that they're potter from all the mitzvahs of the Shadman Grama unless otherwise specified, it would have only said it by tefillin. We could have deduced Re'iyah from it. The fact that it doesn't mean that it's only those two and nothing else. So you're back to, where do we know they're potter from all the other ones? And the answer is, seriously, no. We actually need both of those. We could not have learned that they're potter from tefillin from Re'iyah, or that they're potter from Re'iyah from tefillin. We couldn't learn one from the other. Because if it only said by tefillin that they're potter, it didn't say by the mitzvah of Re'iyah, Havam in a Nelef Re'iyah Re'iyah Mahakel. We would say, like we said before, that we would think to make Zeru Shava from Hakel, that they should be Chayiv in Re'iyah. So therefore we need the Torah to tell us explicitly that they're potter from Re'iyah. The Ikas Rahman Re'iyah, but I call it Tefillin. And if the Torah had only mentioned that by the mitzvah of Re'iyah and not said it by the mitzvah of Tefillin, have I'm an Akish Tefillin the Mezuzah, then you would think to make the Hekish between Tefillin and Mezuzah, like we said on Amud Aleph. Because after all, Tefillin and Mezuzah are mentioned back to back in both parashiyas of Shema, or in one parashiyah of Shema anyway. Therefore you need both of them. So there, you can't call that Shnei Ksuma Boim Ka'achad, because not. Each one of them you need for itself to teach you about itself that you're potter, and then from that we can do a binyan out to everything else. Okay. Question is, by that logic, argue that Matza and Hakil, you couldn't have learned one from the other. So Mar says, why? Lamai Tzrichi, why? Why would you need to say explicitly, both by Matzah and by Hakel, that they're Chayev, and you couldn't have learned one from the other? Ishleim, he calls it Rachmana Hakel, but I call it Matzah. Fine. If you could argue the Torah had to write Matzah, because if it had only written their Chayev and Hakel, and their Potter and from Matzah, have Amen and El Chamishot, Chamishot, Machagasukah. We would say, like we said before, the same Hekish that we thought to use to say that they're Chayev and Sukkah, if we establish that the potter from Sukkah is Zman Grama, we would argue that you make the Hekesh in reverse to say they should be potter from Matzah, and therefore the Torah had to tell us they're Chayiv and Matzah. Fine, we understand that. But the point is, the Torah could have said just that they're Chayiv and Matzah. The Torah did not have to use any statement by Hakel. It didn't explicitly have to say the word Noshin by Hakel. It could have just said the men and the children. And then we would realize on our own that children are chayiv and hakel. If it were to only say a noshim batam, if children are chayiv, how much more so women should be chayiv?
Well, not necessarily.
Okay, Tosfos discusses a little bit around it, because you could argue children will eventually grow up to be men, the boys will eventually grow up to be men who will be chayiv on their own, whereas women are never going to become men. You could have argued that, fine, but the fact is we do have the lamudim we're saying over here. If it didn't say that women are chayiv and matzah, then you could make that argument. Once you already say that women are chayiv and matzah, then we say you could have then we say you could have still gone and learned hakel from him. Because when it comes to matzah, men, women are chayiv, children are potter. So therefore, if women are chayiv and matzah when children are potter, then by Hakel, where children are chayiv, how much more so women should be chayiv?
Really, the children are potter from matzah.
Children are potter from most mitzvahs. So they have a chinuch midrabanan, but midraita they're potter until they're bar mitzvah. Sure. So the bottom line is therefore that you can't. The bottom line is that you could have, the Torah could have just told us by matzah that women are chayev. We would have understood by this kavachomer that they're equally well chayev and hakel. Therefore, what you have over here is two psukim that are teaching us the same din, when it's not necessary, when we could have learned one from this, could have only said it by matzah. And therefore, two psukim that teach us the same thing, you can't use those to learn to other cases. Okay. Fine, all this works out very nicely according to the opinion. Now, in a couple of places in chat, This rule that we set, Shneksum Abraham Kachar and Melamdim, is not agreed to by everybody. There is an opinion in a few places in Shas. The Gemara is going to tell us tomorrow that it is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. He holds that you can learn from Shneksum Abraham Kachar. He holds you can't learn from three, but you can learn from, as the Gemara will tell us tomorrow, but you can learn from two. What's the logic behind that? By the way, Sefer Krisus from Rabbeinu Shimshon, one of the Baalei HaTosfos, gives a reason. He says the same way as we've had sometimes in the Gemara the concept that even though you have something that could have been learned with a kavachomer, milsa da'afka b'kavachomer, we had it earlier on the Sefer, something that could have been learned out with a kavachomer, the Torah still takes the trouble to write it out explicitly anyway. By the same logic, you could say yes, you could have learned it from only one. But still, for reasons known to the Eivishter, he chose to write it in two places. The Rabbi Huda would argue that nevertheless, that's still not a reason to take away the ability to learn by a mamatzino from that. Only if you have it in three places, that's already. Then it means two of them are unnecessary for the limud. Then you can say you can't learn from that. So. So all this works out according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir that two psukim teach us the same thing, you can't learn from them to anything else. El amanda alam alamdin ma'ikumim. What are you going to do according to the opinion that you can learn from that two psukim that teach us the same thing, you can learn? So Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, you can still use that for a mamatzinu ma'ikumim. Then what are you going to say? Then you're back to the question. You have on the one side you have tefillin and re'iyah. Tefillin and hakel. On one side you have masa and hakel. On the other side you have tefillin and riyah. One pair they're potter from. One pair they're chayav in. Why should we learn from one more than from the other? The two. And also on top of that, we have another question. Okay, so far you've established that women are potter from mitzvah sefesh as man groma. Mitzvah sefesh aloy as man groma. Nashim chayav as menolon. Where do we know that women are chayav in mitzvah sefesh shein as man groma? Fine, let's say we can establish that they're potter from the one shazman grama because we can learn from tefillin. Where do we know, who says then that they're chayev in the one shazman grama? So as far as the first question about the two psukim, whether we can learn from that or not, that the Gemara is not going to give an answer to yet. That the Gemara will continue with later in the sugya and give an answer to that. No. The Gemara has left us right now with two questions. One question is, how does this whole limud work according to the Yehuda's opinion? That Shneksum Abayim Kachar you can learn from. That the Gemara is not giving the answer to yet. That the answer will be in the middle of Lamed Hayav Aleph. The other question the Gemara asks is, where do we know that there are Chayav in Mitzvah Sheina Mandrama? That the Gemara is going to start dealing with now. The answer is, the Yalef Mimora. We can learn it from we said the other day that women are equally as chayev in men in respecting and fearing their parents. We said, okay, well, a married woman is under the reshus of her husband, but other than that, she's chayev. Ma moira nashim chayev. It's just like when it comes to moira, women are chayev, because it says over there, ishi meva aver tiro. And tiro, who we said, is addressed to both men and women. Achkom mitzvah sefesh alayat man groma nashim chayev. Same thing any other mitzvah sefesh alayat man groma. Then the question is, why should we learn it l'chumra from Moira Avaim? Instead, we should learn the kula from Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is not a mitzvah sefesh shazman grama, because it applies day and night, or yisav yom v'layla, and yet we said women are potter from it. So then, why don't we learn from that to say that they're equally well potter from any other mitzvah sefesh shein shazman grama? And Tosfos points out, by the way, that Talmud Torah is a very, very important mitzvah. If we see that women are potter from such an important and precious mitzvah as Talmud Torah, we should think that maybe on that basis they should be equally potter from all the other mitzvahs as Sheinah's Man Grama. The answer is Mishum Dehavala Talmud Torah Piri Vrivi Shnei Ksuma Vayim Techa. Again, because you have yet another mitzvah that we know that Ein Hazman Grama, and women are potter from it, Piri Vrivi, which we had before in the list, Shnei Ksuma Vayim Techa. Again, you have two psukim teaching us the same din, because you have Talmud Torah, we're saying the potter, because the matamaitim has b'nei chem and not b'nei seichem, Piri Vrivi, because the Gemara tells us in Yevamot that it's addressed only to men, because ish dar kelepavish, only men usually come. V'kibshua means the v'kibshua is in plural, but the Gemara explains over there that that ish dar kelepavish, only men go out and conquer. V'kibshua means conquer the world. Only men go out and conquer, because only men fight in wars. Women don't. Therefore, period Bolivia is only a mitzvah on the man. Obviously, he can't do it without the cooperation of the woman, but the actual technical mitzvah is only on him. We had that a number of times. That's why a man has a mitzvah to get married, a woman doesn't. So again, the chol shnei ksuma vayim techa dein melamdim. Again, you have two psukim teaching us the same din. You can't learn from those anyplace else. So yes, only those two, Talmud Torah and period Bolivia, are two mitzvahs eser she'ein hazman grama, which women are parted from, but nothing else. Unless we have an explicit limud in the pasuk to tell us so. That, again, once we deal with the question about two versus three, then we'll deal with that as well. But the Gemara takes up a different point. What about according to the opinion of Rabbi Yechonah ben Breika? He says over there in Yevamos that women are chayiv in period Bolivia. He says the Eibishter is actually addressing both of them. By Baruch Oysam, Hashem blessed them, Adam and Chava, and told them, Pruvu, Michael Mema, what are you going to say according to him? Why don't we say that you only learn from Talmud Torah? The period of review you see women are chayavin, but Torah, you say, you have Talmud Torah, you're saying that not. So learn from Talmud Torah by Imam Asinu of the Potter from all the others. The answer is, Mishum to have a Talmud Torah, Pidyon HaBen Shnei Ksuma Vayim Techa. Yes, but you have yet another one, you have Pidyon HaBen as well, where we said that women are Potter from. Which we learned the other day when we had the whole sugya of which mitzvahs men are chayav to do for their children and women are potter from. We said the pidyon haben, they're potter from. So the potter from pidyon haben, which is not a mitzvah to shas man grama, they're potter from Talmud Torah, which is also not, shnei ksuma vayim techa, v'chol shnei ksuma vayim techa ein melamdim. Yeah. Okay, so we'll stop over here and then we'll continue the discussion tomorrow.